Horseshoe crabs are harvested every year across the Atlantic for their blue blood. It's better than almost anything else on the planet at detecting contamination in vaccines and medical devices. In June, NPR investigative reporter Kiara Eisner revealed that the crab bleeding industry operates with little accountability, and there are growing concerns about the impact on wildlife. But there have been some changes since that report, and Kiara is back to tell us more. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Aisha. Thank you.
So let's remind people who don't follow horseshoe crabs obsessively, why are they so important?
Yes, so this species is 450 million years old, and there are two other species that depend on it. Birds, migratory shorebirds, use the eggs as fuel, and humans depend on their blood in the pharmaceutical industry. They have startlingly blue blood.
And that blood has some really special properties, right?
It's very special. So when it comes in contact with a bacterial toxin, it clots. And that's a sign that the vaccine or the medical device that's being tested with it is contaminated. There's a whole industry that has grown around this ingredient because the animal is harvested for this purpose. And they have little oversight, limited regulation, and scientists say that there's an impact on the ecosystem. The bird species that eats the eggs, there's one called the red knot. 94% of them have disappeared in the past 40 years.
And so catch us up on developments within the crab bleeding industry. Like, what's changed since your reporting over the summer?
There's been a lot of movement. So in the summer, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced that they would ban horseshoe crab harvesting on a national wildlife refuge in South Carolina to protect the red knots. That was the first time a federal agency had restricted the harvest to protect the birds. And that wildlife refuge is important because it's a place where Charles River Laboratories, which is one of the biggest players in this bleeding industry, they had been harvesting there for decades.
And there was a lawsuit that was also pending against Charles River Laboratories. It was brought by a coalition of environmental groups. Like, what's the status of that lawsuit?
That lawsuit was settled in August, only 2 weeks after the U.S. Fish and Wildlife reached that decision. And the groups had been suing Charles River because they had been keeping these horseshoe crabs in these ponds away from the beaches. So that meant that the birds didn't have access to the eggs that they were laying. So the company agreed that they would no longer harvest from most of the island beaches in South Carolina during the spawning season. And they also agreed to keep female crabs out of those holding ponds so that they can continue to lay eggs on those beaches. And they agreed to pay for a court monitor, somebody to make sure that they were following all of these rules. And all of this will happen for at least the next 5 years. I talked to Catherine Wanamaker, who was one of the lawyers who led that litigation.
We think it shows like hope for the future of problems in our states. And we just feel proud of getting to this point where they believe they can still do their business, but we are able to protect this bird that really needs these eggs.
So you've reported that there is a synthetic alternative to what the crab blood does, but approval for companies to use it has been in limbo for years. So what's going on with that?
So just this August, the U.S. Pharmacopeia, which is the body that sets the standards for these kinds of ingredients, they announced that they would propose making it just as easy for companies to use that synthetic as it currently is for them to use the horseshoe crab blood-derived ingredient. That's a big deal because although the synthetic was invented decades ago, it was approved in Europe and in other areas, it hadn't been approved here. And I talked to the vice president of the U.S. Pharmacopeia, Yap Venema. He was optimistic about what this could mean.
That is a big step because essentially we are not limiting the use of anything. We're only expanding opportunities for companies to start using them. And of course, we hope that this will be an encouragement for companies to consider switching to non-animal derived reagents.
I should say, too, the USP did say their office received a spike in public outcry after our story aired.
Kiara Eisner is a reporter for NPR's investigations team. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Aisha.